Osiris.
Before we get into the show, we want to tell you about a partner we think you should know about called 1906. It's an edibles company, and they're going to have a really cool limited edition product release at Dick's this year. And we thought that this 12 Days to Dick's series would be a great time to tell you about this. 1906 has teamed up with Tom Marshall to create two limited edition designs called Amphibian Edition. This collaboration was, of course, inspired by Tom's band Amphibian, which began in 1999. This collaboration focuses on two of 1906's most show-friendly products, Go Beans, which are for energy, and Bliss Cups for happiness. And who doesn't need a little bliss every now and then, especially now, leading up to Dick's? So these two limited edition designs will be available in 8 to 10 stores in the Denver area starting Monday, August 27th. Each special edition packages features an amphibian-inspired design that commemorates the three-night run and culminates in the Bliss Lounge, which is going to be in the lot outside of Dick's both Saturday and Sunday. So if you're going to go to Dick's, come by, see the space, say hello to Tom and the 1906 folks, and get fish-inspired makeup artistry for the show. So to find out where the amphibian editions are going to be around Denver and to get details on the Bliss Lounge, check out Instagram 1906. New highs, and we'll also put that in the show notes. Have fun out there.
Osiris.
Helping for the podcast. This is Quick Hits to Dick's. We're in 1996, and the Chicago Bulls have just won another championship after an incredible 72-10 season. The Bulls with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Matt's favorite, Dennis Rodman. Amazing year. Matt gave me a funny look because it's probably not his favorite. What's up, guys?
Hi.
Hello. Happy Sunday, everyone.
Happy Sunday.
Taking it easy for Sunday.
Taking it easy. We're taking it easy. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I had a good time last night, Saturday night, watching the Lockin' webcast. That's been great to see all weekend. Seeing some live music and ready to talk about 1996.
Interesting year. This is like one of the years that gets a little bit buried, I think, by fish fans, right? After between 95 and 97, there's a little bit of a, I think people would say, a drop off. Jonathan, is that true?
I think that's probably true. I mean, for years, I didn't really believe it had happened. So, because I wasn't there.
Because you weren't there. Maybe that's part of it, is that Jonathan pretended it didn't happen, and that's why it faded. But I think most people, the conventional wisdom is that, you know, after Halloween is when 96 got interesting and important, which I think there's some truth to that, but there was some good stuff before. But the summer US tour, I think, was fine. And then the fall tour kind of got better as it went on, but we're going to talk about the Europe tour a little bit. Matt, what's your perspective on 96 as a year?
Yeah, it's not the best year. It's not a year that I go back to very often, except for sort of the handful of really, really high points that you had throughout the year. You know, of course, Halloween, some of the shows immediately after that. But there's little gems. Like, it's not a year that you look at like 95 or something where you could say like, oh, that's the year that they got really kind of, you know, proggy and started pushing things really far. 97 was the funky or whatever. 96 is just, it's very transitional. There's not a lot of playing that's like, has like a certain character to it. It's just fish. You're just listening to fish. There's good stuff, but I think, you know, given the years around it, it sort of is definitely like a little bit of a plateau, at least, if not a slight step back.
You know, I think there is some really good stuff in this year. It is a bit spread out, but that may also just be because I've never put a concerted effort into understanding the entire year. So it might be one that we should dig up for an episode at some point and just really get into like summer 96 and see what we can find.
We did that.
Was I here? Did we really?
We did August 96, or was that for a plus?
Yeah,
was that
for an I think HFL? That was for HFL that was for plus. HFL I was plus. Just thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I might have missed that one.
We talked did. About the opening
to
show.
Our Patreon yeah, that we did HFL the pod plus.
No, we did the whole run up to Clifford Ball, like the whole month of August. And it was
we
the same thing.
Hershey.
Like we found like good playing in the shows and we could be like, all right, well, here was like the high point of that show. But it wasn't like you thought of August 96 and just been like, ooh, this jam. That's where the good stuff's going to be.
You know, not only did I probably express that very same opinion and now I've completely forgotten that we did that. I'm going to deny that I was even on that episode.
So I think that's the worst possible way to say if anyone wants to listen to more about August 96, please check out HF Pod Plus at patreon.com/HF Pod. You'll find a lot of wonderful conversation with me and Matt and Jonathan and some jams.
There you go. There too.
Brad's there? No.
Sometimes. Maybe Brad not
get
on that
crazy.
One.
I think Brad was on that episode, which is probably why you weren't involved, Jonathan, because as we know, the two of you have a blood feud.
Yeah, we got beef.
So weird. So weird how much you guys hate each other. So, guys, we went through this Europe tour, though, has a lot of interesting stuff in it, mostly because this is the first real Europe tour. Before they were touring with others like Santana back in 92, they made trips to Europe, but this is the first like real Europe tour, right? And there's Europe shows are just so different.
Well, this one was piggybacked on a Santana tour too. They did a bunch of openers.
Oh, they did the openers.
A bunch of openers for Santana, and then they sort of tacked on a handful of their own gigs around that.
Yeah, in 92, they were with the Violent Femmes.
Yeah, that's right. Look at that. Look at you guys with all your facts. So this is the 723 from Hamburg. Hamburg?
Hamburg.
Hamburg. Hamburg. Markthalle. Hamburg, Germany.
Markthalle. This is the Magrup that we're going to play for you. Let's give the people a little preview before we let them into it.
Well, it's delightful. There, I said it. Any Magrup that is not completely botched is delightful. And this one has a cool like landlady sort of jam in there right before the peak. It's actually quite rad and a little bit unusual. I think it makes the jam charts because of that. And I dig it.
Yeah, for like a second, it feels like they're going to go into the landlady, which at that point would have been a huge bust out because they probably hadn't played it since 94.
Right.
And it sounds like Fishman wants to go there. And when Page hears that he's entered landlady territory, he sort of backs off. He gets a little sheepish and doesn't want to go there, but they still keep that samba groove going. I think it's a samba groove. I always get my Latin grooves mixed up, but I think that's the samba that he keeps going. So it's a nice little gem there at the end of the Magrup, which is, you know, usually a pretty straightforward song, but nice to get something cool like that towards the end.
Yeah, I think the thing that's notable for me is just how quiet and awesome Europe shows are. You know, there's just like basically zero noise at this. I mean, you can hear one person once in a while like just yells randomly because it's like too quiet and they're like, I gotta yell. But otherwise, it's like it's such a nice, quiet, peaceful show, it seems like, at least during this Magrup.
I can agree with that.
It seems like we have reached the end. And you should listen to the Magrup.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you.
alternated by bigger flock to the shores of the Baltic Sea. The teeth of time have stole the rhyme of how things should be. My cave, my house, my turning wheel, my little docking pump, the march of Colonel Forbin and his fleet hound called McGrupp. The grime of countless wood dogs has collected in my sink. I tie my nose with spandex hose before I get a drink. We rely on frozen warthogs with its poison in our minds, while the ferns that spot our children are encased in orange rime. Spotted stripers, multi-beast, and thereby she is great.